Hey, but from Etimi and Chris in Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Wherever you are, welcome to the last hour of the Morning Crossfire. I am Sherif Quadri. This is Nigeria Info. We're live right now on Facebook. Nigeria Info 99.3 is what you need to search on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube as well. Nigeria Info 99.3 is what you can search for on YouTube. Feel free to join the conversation on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. Let's talk endometriosis. What do you know about it? Not to worry, we'll break things down for you. All I need you to do right now is to come through with your questions concerning endo. I have professionals here who will be looking into that for us this morning. Feel free to join our conversation on WhatsApp as well. The WhatsApp number, just keep your thoughts coming through. The WhatsApp number is 0809 597 5805, because of time, send in your questions, you know, right now, so that when it's time to take them, we just go and start taking them. Welcome to the show. If you're just, and please, if you are going to be calling me later, you must turn off your radio. It's very important that you do that. I have in the studio here with me Olivia Nwankwo. Olivia Nwankwo is the founder of Endo Survivors International. Olivia, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you for having us.
I also have a consultant gynecologist, Dr. Olajuwon Alabi. He's here with us as well. Doc, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Let me start with the doc. What is endometriosis?
Wow. I thought you were going to start with Olivia.
No.
Okay. It's actually a condition where... So there's something called endometrium, which is the lining of the womb. You know what? If you don't get pregnant, women shed every time. That's their period. So for one reason or the other, those cells find their way into different part of the body, especially inside the tummy. Mm-hmm. So it means that when you menstruate, you pass some out, but some are inside your tummy, and they're out, you know, they're causing a lot of damages, a lot of inflammation, and that causes a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. So that basically, that's the easiest way to explain it. So you find people having severe menstrual pain, okay, or even pain before their period. Unfortunately, a lot of people think it's natural. Oh, yes, you can have pain. Yes, I had pain like that. Oh. And I think that's one of the challenges, because it's kind of very difficult to differentiate between endometriosis pain and pain that people can have from period. So that
how can it be diagnosed then?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is that you have to be aware of it. Okay. Not only as a patient, the medical practitioner as well. There are a lot of researches that shows that diagnosis of endometriosis take about 8 to 10 years,
oh,
because people don't think about it a lot earlier. Mm. The way to diagnose it is by doing a procedure called laparoscopy.
Okay.
So you put a camera. You know, I'm sure a lot of people know about endoscopy, which is using camera. So a camera goes into the belly button, and then you can have a look at the inside of the tummy. And then you see all this inflammation, dark spots inside the tummy that's causing. So it means that it just bleeds every time. Now, having said that, in severe cases, you can also diagnose it with scans. Mm. But the person that's doing the scan needs to know what they're looking for.
Mm.
If you don't know what you're looking for, then, and I think that's what, in majority of cases, that's what women go through. They, you know, they have scans, and they come in contact with practitioners that don't know about this condition, so they're left hanging for.
How do you now get to tell, you know, between normal menstrual pain and I'm still trying to figure that out, because you said because of the similarity, because of the thin line between these two, it's quite difficult. But for a lady, how do you tell?
Well, the first thing is that if you constantly have severe menstrual pain that disturbs you, maybe prevents you from going to work. Mm. Every time you have your period, you're admitted in hospital, you're having to use a lot of painkillers, then you have to look for it. So I think it's important. I think one of the problems here sometimes is that you speak with an average woman in Nigeria and you say, do you have a gynecologist? Do you have a doctor? No, I have not. I don't have any. So it takes time for them to create that awareness or know that they have to see somebody for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the first person we seek opinion from are our parents. So for example, if I continue to have severe menstrual pain or pain before my period, I will speak with my mom, and my mom might say, well, I went through that, I think it's normal. And then that's where the problem is.
That's right. Yeah. Olivia, let me come to you. Your organization, what do you do exactly?
So my organization is Endo Survivors International Foundation, and our mission is to raise awareness about endometriosis through education, research, and advocacy. So as Dr. John has just said, a lot of people think that menstrual pain is normal. So that kind of pain has been normalized for so long. So for that reason, it contributes to the delay in diagnosis.
Right.
So our mission is to help, you know, reduce as much as we can the diagnostic delay by educating people about endometriosis, promoting a treatment-seeking behavior among young girls, especially who are constantly having dysmenorrhea, that's menstrual pain, and providing support for endometriosis patients as much as we can.
In all the works that you've done with your organization, how would you describe the level of awareness, especially among the young adult females?
The level of awareness is really poor. So, but we're working hard at, you know, trying to, we're doing a lot of work around advocating, trying to encourage more discussions about it.
Do they look at you like, what is this one saying? It's normal now. It's not menstrual pain. You know, it's just a menstrual pain. Do you get that kind of reaction from them, or they are genuinely surprised at menstrual pain can now be something else?
Yeah, so we have different target groups. So for the adolescent girls, they are genuinely surprised. They are usually like, really, I've been going through that. So what do I do? And then for the older women, some of them are like, that one is normal. You know, so there are different reactions from different target groups. But generally, there's a lot of dawning now on people. A lot of people are becoming more aware about it. A lot of women, even endometriosis patients themselves, are learning more about endometriosis. So it's more like an awakening. People are deciding to now seek care instead of just normalizing pain and thinking it's something you can live with and just, you know, wish it away or pray it away.
I want to also talk about the general campaign for Endo. March is the Global Awareness Month for Endo. And when the issue came up, like, we're going to have this conversation, my thought exactly was, how many organizations such as yours, even from the government side of things, are launching massive campaigns? It was because all of these boils down to education and enlightenment, you know, how people are aware of the commonest of things that happen to them. How would you describe the intensity of awareness? I mean, you are doing a great thing. You're doing great job, great work in trying to sensitize people, but generally, how would you rate the level, the intensity of enlightenment in this space?
So, to be honest, generally, there's still a lot of work to be done. But it's actually good to see that Lagos State is beginning to pick up interest in endometriosis. In fact, they just had a campaign in one of the government hospitals just last week. You know, that's following all the work we've been doing in the past 3 years. So it's picking up. But you see, endometriosis is a chronic condition. It's a condition without a cure. So normally, medical care would struggle with picking up on a disease that is not killing anybody per se. So, you know, there's a lot of buzz about malaria. There's a lot of buzz about coronary heart diseases and all of these other diseases that you can actually visually see. But with endometriosis, it's an invisible disease. It's a chronic condition. And there's the general feeling that it's not killing anybody, so why should we bother?
Why should we pay more attention to it?
Yeah, at the same time, it's a very debilitating condition.
Right.
It's the leading cause of infertility, the second leading cause of infertility. It impairs quality of life. So in raising awareness, we're trying to let people know that, yes, this thing is not killing, but it's altering people's lives. It's messing people's lives up. Some patients would rather die than live with this disease. So we're trying to change that concept, the idea that the authorities and the stakeholders have about endometriosis.
Dr. Alabi, how does it lead to infertility? Olivia just mentioned that now.
Yeah, I mean, thank you again. So I think one of the reason why we pick it up in this particular part of the world is when patient comes to the clinic for fertility checkup.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you start asking questions and they say, I have this pain every month and stuff like that. Right. Now, remember I said that it causes a lot of bleed internally.
All right.
So by bleeding, it causes a lot of inflammation.
Hmm.
So by inflaming the organs inside, especially something called the fallopian tube and the ovaries and the eggs, it's almost like you're putting toxins around those structure that you normally, so it become a hostile environment and the eggs cannot get released. And even when they get released, they are not good quality. When they get released, they can't enter the tube because the tube is damaged. So, and again, the woman doesn't even want to have sex because every time she does, she has severe pain.
It's pains all the way.
Yeah. So I think there's a reduction in coitus as well. So that causes them to have infertility, really.
Is it treatable?
Well, it depends because there are different stages of endometriosis. You have the mild, you have the moderate, and the severe. And I think one of the things about this campaign is that sometimes if you pick this thing early and you either resect it, remove it, or treat it, it doesn't get to the advanced stage. So, but in terms of if you get it like moderate, severe, it's not curable. You can manage it. You can, like I explained to people, the care is individualized. So you have to sit with somebody and say, okay, what are we getting from this? We're talking about surgery that sometimes you have to remove some part of the bowel, some part of the bladder, sometimes even remove the womb in severe cases.
Oh my.
So like she said as well, because it's not a disease that kills people like that, but now a lot of the time the women cannot even leave because they're constantly in pain. So it affects their work-life balance, it affects their work. Sometimes a lot of them get sacked. Is it only you? You come to work every time you get admitted to hospitals. So it's not, you know, sometimes we look at disease with mortality, but we should be looking at it from the point, from the angle of quality of life, you know, morbidity, and so how am I able to function as a person because of that? I think that's the way to look at things.
Right. Olivia, let me come to you. We'll go to the phone lines now. I know lots of people are waiting for us to open up the phone lines so they can send in their questions and all. But let's talk about access to treatment. Your organization, what's your role in making people have that access to treatment? Because that's one thing. Nigerian health sector is something else entirely. There's no point. There's no gainsaying it. Well, access to treatment for endo, how is it? How affordable is it?
Yeah, so access to treatment is expensive. Let's just start with that. So at the same time, endometriosis care is a subspecialty. It's not just every gynecologist that treats endometriosis. Even though in Nigeria, we have normal obstetricians just, you know, treating it because many of them think it's all about putting the woman on hormonal treatment, just give her contraceptive or just put her on some of these hormonal drugs just to stop her period. But my organization is first even educating the public, educating patients.
That's right.
That endometriosis treatment, as Dr. Alabi said, should be individualized. It should be patient-centered. It's not just about using a one-size-fits-all approach to treat people. So we start with that, educating them and then helping them connect with specialists. To be honest, in Nigeria, we do not have many endometriosis specialists. I know many of the doctors don't like to hear me say that, but it's the fact. We don't have many, and it's not peculiar. There are some countries that don't even have any at all. But here, we do have a few, and we're trying to connect patients to that kind of care. At the moment, we do not have the means to pay or to fund their treatment. We're still growing and we're still seeking support and collaborations. However, the treatment is quite expensive to even reach because I'll explain why. Now, endometriosis care is not, some people feel is not the happening thing. They rather have help women give birth. Mm. You know, that's where the money is in, you know, giving birth and helping them with every other aspect of gynecology. But part of what we're doing is to let people know that this disease is prevalent. It affects 1 out of 10 women.
That's right.
So you find that when someone focuses on endometriosis or, you know, wants to build a career around
specialize.
It, yeah, they may not feel that it's viable, you know. So we're trying to, so the few ones that are there are so expensive. The treatment is expensive. Endometriosis surgery is as intricate as brain surgery.
Mm.
That if you're going to meet a consultant that is very good and that knows exactly, you know, how to handle endometriosis, it's very intricate. So it's not just anything. You just come and burn up some of them. So we'll just burn up the lesions. Mm. It's more than just burning up the lesions. There's intricate excision. There's intricate process that is around that. And that takes a lot of skill, which is not very easy to access.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. Olivia, Dr. Olavi, let's quickly pause for a moment. Perhaps we can go on a quick break. When we return from this break, we'll start taking thought from people out there. Quite an interesting conversation we're having here this morning. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. It's a Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info. I have Olivia Wakuru here, the founder of Endo Survivors International Foundation. I also have Dr. Olajuwon Alabi here as well, a consultant gynecologist in the studio. And we're discussing endometriosis on the show today. If you'd like to ask any questions at all, let them start coming in right now on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM, on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube right now. Nigeria Info 99.3. is where we're live on YouTube and Facebook. On WhatsApp, the number is 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805. If you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're an uncle, if you're a husband, and you'd like to ask a question on behalf of your relative, your spouse, feel free to do that. You're very welcome. If you're a lady and you'd like to remain anonymous, you want to call in to share your thought or to ask questions from the doctor, and Olivia, feel free to join as well to call in and ask your question. But we need to go on a quick break right now. When we return, we set the ball rolling on getting your feedback. Stay here.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Great Thursday morning. I'm Sharif Quadri. Olivia Makudu is here and Dr. Olajuwon Alabi is also here in the studio with me. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube. Let's begin to take your reaction at this juncture. We're talking endometriosis. The phone lines that you can get in touch with us via will be 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. I have questions that have come in already. If you're a lady, the number to call is 01-465-7190. That is exclusively for the ladies. No man should call that line. Check yourself before you call. The number again is 01-465-7190. If you're calling in as a lady and you'd like to remain anonymous, feel free to do that. It's welcome. It's very, very welcome. And just turn off your radio. A lady will pick your call first and get your details before patching you through to the studio. Let's speak with Joy. Joy is in Satellite Town. Joy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Sheriff. Good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
I'm Joy from Satellite Town.
Welcome, Joy.
Okay. I have a question that I want to ask the doctor.
Go on, Joy. Yeah. Go on.
Okay. So, I'm a mother of 5 now. So, but concerning the topic that we're discussing in this, at the studio right now.
Yeah.
So, I've been experiencing something like that. But I'm not having painful menstruation as it is.
Okay.
But I noticed that my menstruation is not that regular. Sometimes normal, sometimes heavy flow. But during the heavy flow, whenever I went, for example, I went to the toilet to poo, I saw some piece of blood in my poo. Is it because of the
endo?
Because of the, yes.
Okay. Is that all, Joy?
Yes.
Mm.
Another thing is that I have a daughter.
Okay.
Now, I want to know, does it come at a particular age?
Okay.
No, that's
all right, that's good, Joy. Thank you for calling, Doctor.
Okay, so she has two questions. So the first one is that, if I understand it correctly, that if she goes to the toilet around her period, that she notices blood.
Sure.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, like I explained before, endometriosis can be found in different parts of the body. And because of the closeness of the womb and the ovary to the bowel, it can infiltrate the bowel, especially the lower part of the bowel where poo comes out. So it means that every month people can have, as they're having period, they're having blood-stained poo as well. So I think she needs to go and have that checked. I think there are a lot of places you can go. There are a lot of teaching hospitals. If you don't want to go to a private hospital, there are a lot of good private hospitals as well. So in her case, she will need to see two specialists, most likely. She will need to see a gynecologist and then a bowel specialist. And they need... And I think that's one of the things that comes from endometriosis treatment. It's not only by a gynecologist. It's by a team. And the team can comprise a gynecologist, a bowel surgeon, a urologist, somebody that looks after bladder and stuff. Because when this thing happens, everything is stuck together. So you have to try to separate them. And then you get all specialists in to make sure that there are no complications.
Right. And she also asked about her daughter.
Yeah. So I think with her daughter, what she needs to do is maybe get a very good family physician. There has been reports that endometriosis can run in the family. That's genetic. So I think it's important that she gets her... especially like I said earlier, that if you catch it early and you can suppress it, it might not get to the severe cases.
We have an anonymous caller. Anonymous, good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Yes, go on. We're listening to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to share my experience.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. It was a very... It's all in back.
Do you have your radio on?
I do.
Okay, you need to turn off your radio so that you can hear me clearly.
Okay.
All right.
Am I home?
Yes, you're live now. Go on, please.
Yes, I wanted to say that I had a very terrible experience. It was a matter of life and death. Endometriosis is horrible. It's a horrible disease, and it could pack up your life. I mean, you'll be almost rendered useless, not being able to do anything. And if it gets to the three or fourth stage, which my got to, you practically can't function. I was on drugs 24/7. In fact, you'll be praying that your drugs to maintain the pain does not get exhausted, because if you get back into the pain, it takes quite a while for the pain, even after using the drug, to relieve you. In fact, you cannot touch on what part of you is hurting you. So I have to sleep with my two legs up. And again, it rendered my toes useless. My toes useless. I've been married for about 10 years. I can't have babies. And it will affect your anus. It put pressure on my anus. And at the same time, you'll feel like vomiting. You know, when you feel like vomiting, that is the toughest point of it, because it's going to... You have a terrible pelvic. Your pelvic is already ravaged, and you are trying to vomit at the same time. You know you are gone, because it's going to be a very tough situation for you. So most of the time, I'm praying that God, as I'm going through it, don't let me feel like vomit. But it's a terrible condition.
How are you now? How do you do now? How are you?
I have done the surgery 2-3 years ago, and I'm giving glory to God, because I've not gone back. Although I've done that draining of the teeth, because I was told it's going to grow back, but I'm happy that I've not gone back for another surgery, because I have heard of stories of people who have done 2-3 surgeries in 1 year because of this condition, especially when it gets to the third or fourth stage. So I want to be part of the
we'll release that information in a moment. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for sharing your story. We have another anonymous caller. Hello, good morning to you. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm 16 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's this pain I have, like, every, like, between 12 or 14 days after my menstruation.
Okay.
Like, on my lower abdomen, it's always so painful, like, it's just for some hours, particular day.
Okay.
So I want to ask if it's actually normal.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Doc?
So these are the things we're talking about. Whilst that can be normal,
yeah,
because some people have ovulation pain. Mm. So if it's mid-cycle, it may be normal.
Okay.
But I think it's also important that she speaks with somebody, because that's one of the people that the group is trying to catch, actually, if you can catch it early. Because if she goes through that for about 8-10 years and nobody catches it, then it becomes severe. And so I think that's important. It's a, I'm happy that she's asking that question.
Yeah.
So what she needs to do now is to get her mom to take her to a gynecologist.
Right.
Now, yeah, in different part of the world, they have gynecologists that look after adolescents, girls. Which is, but in Nigeria, it's purely gynecology. So she might need to go to a good gynecologist and say, okay, what's happening? Even if they're going to reassure her and keep an eye on her.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
I'm going to stick with Esther, then we'll come to Olivia. Esther is joining us this morning from Ajah. Hi, Esther, good morning to you.
Hello, sir, good morning. Good
morning to you.
Please, I have a question for the doctor.
All right.
My own experience is each time I want to have my menstrual pain, initially comes with vomiting and I don't know how to explain it. And if you want to vomit, as if your colon intestine will come out. And the only thing you see in that vomit is yellowish and greenish and very bitter. Day after the period comes, there was a time last year, it makes my life so useless. I went to the hospital, they diagnosed me, they said liver, they said story. After all said and done, they still come back to the menstrual pain. I wouldn't know what causes it. Please, okay. Doctor, help me.
Thank you, Esther. Doc?
I think the question to Esther is that, is this what has always happened from when she started her menstruation, or is this something that started recently? And if it's something that started recently, then I would advise her to have, yeah, she may have endometriosis. So I think get a scan done, go and see a specialist, let them see you. And like I said, I think one of the things that we probably need to talk about more is, because the diagnosis is made by a procedure.
Right.
And you know how Nigerians think about procedure. It's almost, would I sleep and not wake up? So I think that's one of the major issues as well. Now, the Endometriotic Society of the world, they're trying to find a way how this can be diagnosed without a procedure. So, for example, if you can go to a hospital and say, oh, check if I have endometriosis, and they take a blood test.
Right.
And then you have, and oh, it's positive.
And the result comes out. And
then maybe that will link. But if you're doing a surgery to find out whether you have it, that's where the disconnect usually happens.
Indeed. Yeah. Olivia, let me come to you. Endo Survivors International Foundation, you have a program coming up. Tell us about that.
Thank you. So we have a program coming up on Wednesday next week, 31st of March at 1 p.m. It's called Endometriosis Patients Day.
Okay.
So it's a day for endometriosis patients to connect, as well as our healthcare providers, caregivers, health enthusiasts, general public, lawmakers. Everybody, you know, is encouraged to join us. It's holding on Zoom. Yeah, so it's the aim of the Endometriosis Patients Day. Really, we have three objectives. The first one is still to educate, to raise awareness, to talk more about endometriosis. What's the future of endometriosis care? What's the hope for endometriosis patients?
Right.
So we're going to be raising more awareness and educating people. We have a team of experts coming in to talk more. The theme of this year's program is extrapelvic endometriosis, rare or underdiagnosed. So when Dr. Juwon was talking about what endometriosis is, he mentioned that sometimes those tissues are found around the pelvic area.
That's right.
So in addition to that, sometimes endometriosis is found outside the pelvic area. So we have endometriosis on the umbilicus, that's on the navel, the belly button. We have endometriosis in the thorax, thoracic endometriosis, pulmonary endometriosis. We have sometimes on the spine, the nerves, the bowel. So we're going to be tackling those aspects.
How can people be a part of that program next Wednesday?
So you register. You can register by following us first on Instagram, EndoSurvivors, and you just click on the link in the bio. Or if you're not on Instagram, you can just go to our website, www.endosurvivors.org, click on conferences, and immediately you just register. It takes less than a minute to register. It's at 1 p.m. On Wednesday next week, March 31st.
Let's say there are people out there now who have more questions, because obviously this is not enough. We have you should come to my line. They're all blinking. How can they reach EndoSurvivors?
So you can reach me by you can easily send a DM if you follow on Twitter, Instagram, EndoSurvivors. That's one. You can send an email, endosurvivors1@gmail.com, or info@endosurvivors.org. So it's that easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's beautiful. Dr. Jimo, before we go, I need to just quickly go online to drop some questions here. I will need you to just attend to them in 1 or 2 minutes. Susie says, please, where can I go and get tested for the endo in Lagos?
Well, the reason I'm here is because I do a lot of work in endometriosis. So I work in a hospital called South Shore Women's and Children Hospital.
Okay.
We're based in Victoria Island and Ikeja GRA. Now, there are some teaching hospitals as well, like Luth, Lasut.
Yeah.
So they have people that are very knowledgeable in looking after women that way.
Fantastic.
So I think that's the main thing.
Someone, BC says, is it preventable?
No, it's not. I think it's more, I think unfortunately here we're so conversant with fibroid. So endometriosis is the first cousin of fibroid, and they're equally as common. A few years ago, we used to think that it's just a white man's disease, but because there are more technology to diagnose it, we realize that they're as common as fibroid actually.
Oh yeah, so we must, doctor. I'm so sorry to butt in. We must go now. I know this time is very short. I swear, Doctor Labi, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Olivia, best of luck. Thank you for the great job that you do. We hope to speak to you more. In Lagos, Nigeria, as far we can go on the show today. Many thanks to everybody that's been part of it. We're back tomorrow on your radio at 5 o'clock in the morning. Many thanks to Credit View for being a part of our game, Just a Minute. It'll be played on, of course, all of the shows, What's Up Lagos, Sunnyside, and of course, Hard Facts. Winner will be announced on Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'm online on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri, on Instagram at Sheriff Quadri, and on LinkedIn at Sheriff Quadri. Come on, chat me up. Let's talk. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Very lovely morning to you.
Do you need to meet up your
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.